James 1:5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. Well, here's a relevant word from God. Some here are preparing to graduate in a few months to leave the no oxygen outer space of academia and re-enter Earth's atmosphere to take your place in the real world, where you work to make a living and where you live in sustained relationships with those you rub shoulders with. Bet you're asking, now what? What kind of a vocation should I enter? Which job should I take? Where should I move? What path will I walk? Others here may be pondering relationships. Should I marry him? Should I pursue her? Should I pursue marriage now or stay single till I finish my degree, my residency, my next intense assignment? Or maybe you're saying, will I ever get married? What does God have for me? Others here have young children. And you ask, when should I say no? Where should I place the limits or enforce disciplines? How will I encourage creativity? Yes, you can. And still build self-discipline? No, you can't. How do I simultaneously encourage a flickering sensitivity to sin and a growing faith in Jesus who forgives? How do I shape character for a lifetime? Still others here may be facing major changes in life, emotional traumas, changes in life circumstances, illnesses, disabilities, and so on. How do I navigate through these waters? Google Maps does not help you here. Lacking in wisdom? Start here. James 1:5. James 1:5 offers an invitation, a critical component, an action, and a promise. But first, a preamble. Verse 2, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. Now that's unexpected. Count it all joy? Trials? All kinds of trials? How strange. Trials hurt. Trials stretch. I do not enjoy trials, but I can count it all joy. And it's not about what I feel or experience during the trial, but it's because I understand, I consider the outcomes of the trials and my response to the trials, and then how I grow because of the trials. Things happen when I go through trials by the grace of God that could not happen any other way, or at least not at that pace. It's accelerated growth in grace only through trials. Thank you, God. Count it all joy when you encounter various trials. And then verse 3, here's the why. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. You can count it all joy because you know. It's not about what I feel. It's not about whether I'm having fun. But I know that the testing of my faith produces steadfastness. Trees that live through storms develop deeper root systems and are better prepared for future storms. Muscles that are challenged and broken down by working out, the trauma of working out, rebuild and grow stronger through this process and through this process alone. Spiritual process is similar. The testing of your faith produces positive outcomes, steadfastness. We grow in faith by trusting God as we live through desperate times. We grow in love by learning to love, though we are misunderstood, by learning to love people that are not so easy to love. We grow in love by loving even when we face responses to our overtures of coldness and indifference. It doesn't make the trial feel better, but you know what good it is doing, and you are glad for what it will do for you. Now, I hate running. Now, I've had this discussion with some of you, and some of you enjoy running. I don't understand it, but I'm happy for you. I hate running. I don't know if there's ever been a time in my life that I've gone out to run and said, oh boy, I get a run, but I know it does me good. So we run. Verse 4. Count it all joy when you meet trials, because you know the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And then, let steadfastness have its full effect. I go through one trial. I go through another trial. I go through another trial. And I develop steadfastness in this dimension, and then in that dimension, and then in the other dimension. And let steadfastness have its full effect, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Doing a variety of exercises gives you a more well-rounded fitness, not just one or two muscle groups. And so encountering a variety of trials produces a well-rounded maturity, that you may be perfect and in complete, lacking in nothing. And so eventually, that's where you end up by the grace of God operative in us, lacking in nothing. And that's the transition to our text. Verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom. Now, steadfastness through a whole variety of kinds of trials will produce this well-rounded spiritual fitness, this maturity, this completeness, so you won't be lacking in any dimensions. But if you lack wisdom, start here. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. And so we begin with an open invitation. If any of you lack. If any of you lack any. Indefinite. General. Whoever you are. There are no prerequisites. There are no qualifications for this promise. If any of you. It's not if you are sufficiently mature. You cross this threshold. You can now ask God and dare to ask. You don't have to worry about sounding stupid. If any of you, I don't even know what to do here. It's okay. If any of you lack wisdom, I'm in too deep. This is all too confusing. I don't see a way out from this situation. If any of you lack wisdom, who's invited? Any who lack. The only qualification for approaching God to ask for wisdom is a sense of your own deficiency, as in the less you have, the more comfortable you should feel in coming. You lack? Come. An open invitation. Secondly, the critical component. If any of you lack wisdom. Wisdom. Wisdom's the holy grail. Wisdom's the missing link. Wisdom is the master key. But I lack it. I know how important it is. I feel how I need it now. And I'm telling you, I fall short. I don't know what to do. Wisdom is important, so important, but I lack it. Are you deficient in wisdom? Are there answers you don't have and direction you don't possess? And is there something you don't know? Do you need guidance? Do you need confidence in the decision that you must make? Are you struggling to find your way? Then this invitation, this verse is for you. If any of you lack wisdom. In the third place, the action. What do I do? Ask God. Two words. Ask God. Ask God. It's simple. It's clear. What is to misunderstand? Ask God. Ask. Pray. Matthew 7:7, Jesus said, ask and it will be given to you. It's just like here. Ask and God gives. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. It is so simple. It is so clear. You ask, Jesus says, you will receive. It will be given to you. Pithy, potent, like biting on a jalapeno. Pow! Ask God. So don't just sit there in a fog of confusion. Ask God. But then notice, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach. This is the God that we ask. It's the God who gives. You know, all creation depends on a giving God for being. He gave us existence in the first place. In the beginning, God created. Everything you see, everything you encounter, everything you think of apart from God depends on God having given existence, being a giving God. He gave us existence in the first place, and he gives us life day by day. Every day is a gift from God. Every breath is a gift from God. He holds our life in his hands. He sustains us at all times, moment by moment. God gives us sun. God gives us snow. God gives us success. God is the one who gives us love. God is the one who gives happiness. God is the one who gives all good gifts. God is the one who gives beauty. God is the one who gives children, a giving God. And God the giver gives wisdom. Lack wisdom? Ask God. He gives generously to all. Or the passage that we read a few minutes ago that Jim read for us, Proverbs 2:6, for the Lord gives wisdom. You out there looking, digging under every rock. You're in the library all day long. You're on the computer all day long trying to get smart. The Lord gives wisdom. He is the source, capital S. So where else would I dream of seeking it? Go to the source. Look in the right place. God gives. But it says he gives generously. God gives generously. He gives sincerely. He gives without reservation. He gives without second thought. He gives with no strings attached. Let's go back to this passage we were just quoting a moment ago, Matthew 7, that is on page 474, if you're using the Bibles in the back. Matthew 7, and here Jesus says, and so we want to notice God's generous giving in this passage. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? The idea is human fathers, if their son comes and says, can I have bread, they will give them bread. They won't give them a stone. They won't give them anything less. And God's greater. God's a greater father. And if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? No, he'll give him a fish. He will give. And God's greater. He will give in a greater way. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? A generously giving God. These blank check promises, ask, seek, Knock, it will be given. You will find. God gives generously. The Father gives good things to His Son, the Heavenly Father, way more, gives good things to all who ask. God is a generous giver. And to doubt God's generosity, follow me, is to eclipse, to downplay His glory. Because God is more gracious than we can conceive. Now we're not obscuring His holiness or His commitment to punish sin. That's what gives teeth and meaning to grace. But this is who God is. He is gracious. He gives generously. Man sins in the garden, but God doesn't say to hell with you. No, out of pure love and grace, God pursues mankind with prophets warning and sacrifices reminding and miracles declaring and deliverances showing and His Son dying and His Spirit calling. This is a generous and gracious God. He gives generously. Furthermore, our text says He gives generously to all. God gives generously to all, to the righteous and to the wicked. I'll just read to you from Matthew 5 in the Sermon on the Mount, verses 44. So Jesus says, love your neighbor, love your enemies, and pray for those who persecute you so that you'll be like your Father, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. Love your enemies so you can be like your Father, because what He does, He makes His Son rise on the evil and the good. And He sends rain on the just and the unjust. Verse 48, you therefore must be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. God gives generously to all. He gives to those who recognize Him as giver and give Him praise and glory and obedience and honor. And He gives generously sun, rain, life, time. He gives generously to those who ignore Him as giver, to those who hate Him, to those who say He doesn't even exist. This is God, a generous giver to all. So why should I be reticent to ask this God? There's more. One more. God gives generously to all without reproach. So when we come asking, it's not like God gives us the wisdom we asked for, but He slips in, but you really should have known that all along. I'll give, but you know you really should pray more. I'll give, but you know you really should read your Bible more, without reproach. Yes, this once, but next time you're on your own. Yes, but God gives generously to all without reproach. No guilt trips. No yes, but. No scolding without reproach. Back to our verse. The open invitation. And the critical component, the action. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and then the promise, and it will be given him. So simple. You lack? You lack wisdom? Ask, and you receive the answer. It will be given him. Lack? Ask? Answer. But nothing. Read the verse. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously to all without reproach. And it will be given him. Now there are prayers that will not be answered, but you know, this promise doesn't seem to allow for that. This is just what Jesus was saying, right? In Matthew 7:7, ask, and it shall be given you. It's stated so absolutely. we might ask, how is wisdom given? Often through means, of course. But the fact that it comes to us through means does not dilute the reality that this is God's gift. The Lord gives. Let's go back to Proverbs 2. We were there earlier. It's page 304 in the Bibles and back if you're using that. I can find it. You just have to wait for me. Proverbs 2. So down at the end it says, then you will, verse 9, then you will understand righteousness, then you will understand justice, then you will understand equity, then you will understand every good path, because wisdom will come into your heart. Well, that's the goal, that's what we're asking for, right? So how do we get there? Verse 6, for the Lord gives wisdom. That's what we're saying, that's why we ask God, because God gives it. The Lord gives wisdom. And if God's not giving it, you're going to be hard-pressed to find it. From his mouth come knowledge, this is verse 6, come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. The Lord gives wisdom. But back to verses 1 through 5. And here's the means. How does God give wisdom? Now, in a variety of ways, but generally through means. And here's the means. Listen. My son, if you receive my words... So this is the father talking to his son, and he's saying, here's the value of wisdom. You need to spend your life looking to be wise. Not just having fun, not just, you know, doing whatever you feel, but wisdom. And so if you receive my words and make wisdom your principal priority and its search, and you treasure up my commandments to you, so I'm your dad, I'm going to give you some advice here. Don't be lazy. Stay away from wild women, and so on. Treasure up my commandments and make your ear attentive to wisdom. So whenever someone is talking, look to learn. Pay careful attention. Incline your heart to understanding. Yes, not just that, but if you call out for insight, you want wisdom more than anything else. And you raise your voice for understanding. It's an auction. And I'm going to bid. Raise your voice. I'll pay more for wisdom. If you seek it like silver, like a miner down under the ground, chipping away at the rocks, looking for a vein of silver, giving my life. Search where it is for hidden treasure. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord. This is hard work. This is a search. There's a whole process involved in looking for wisdom. And yet it says, for the Lord gives wisdom. Well, what is it? Am I working for it? Am I searching for it as hidden treasure, or is God giving it? Well, it's both, because God gives wisdom through me using the means. I listen to wise people. I search the scriptures. I reflect upon what I've learned as I go through various situations. When the day is done and the sun is set, it's God who's given the wisdom. That's why I ask him. I don't start with myself. I start with God. The Lord's giving wisdom does not dilute the reality that I have to work. Use the means to find wisdom. My human effort does not negate divine agency, for the Lord gives wisdom, often via my diligent effort. So how does wisdom come? What are the means? Three things. One, God will teach you through trials. And we just talked about that in James 1, didn't we? God will teach you through trials, even while you're praying for escape, as you endure it. And believe in God's working through these trials, you will learn wisdom. Secondly, God will build wisdom into you as you seek wisdom through his word. Here's perfect wisdom. Words from God, spoken through humans, words from God. True wisdom. And thirdly, God will incrementally add to your wisdom as you interact with his people, as you share your life with theirs, as you listen to their perspectives, receive their counsel, watch how they live, observe and reflect upon all of this, community and counsel. Three means for wisdom: trials, the Word of God, and community and counsel. All right, here we come to the meat of this whole morning. You say, I ask God, but I don't feel wise. But nowhere here does it say that you will feel wise. That doesn't mean that God hasn't answered your prayer. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. It didn't say you will feel smarter. You say, but I've prayed and I don't have answers to my questions. Please listen. Answers were never promised. Wisdom was promised. And God gives you the equipment to find the answer. And now you must go about and use the means to find the answer. Live through trials. Seek him in his word. Interact with God's people. Hey, what do you guys see? Here's my dilemma. What do you guys think? Do you have any insights you can give me? And God will give you insight. But he didn't promise answers. I prayed and I didn't get an answer. He didn't promise an answer. He promised wisdom so that you can go out wisely and understand his will by using the means that God has given. And that's a promise. Back to Proverbs 2. You got to search. Look for it as for hidden treasure. You got to go through the process. But it's the Lord who gives wisdom. And he will give it to you as you diligently use the means and seek him. You got to walk through the process. But God will give you real wisdom. God will give you real wisdom to make the right decision as you work through it. Think, pray, read, ask counsel from wise brothers and sisters. Bottom line, this is a promise. This is a promise. And you need the faith to believe it. And that's what he says next, right? We're not going to take the time to go through that, but just verse 6, but let him ask in faith. You got to believe it. You got to believe that God is true. You got to believe that God will fulfill his word in your life. Whether you feel wise or not, that God will give you wisdom. Let him ask in faith with no doubting. The one who doubts, it's like a wave of the sea that's driven and tossed by the wind. Believe God. And then go and engage with your dilemmas, believing that you are not on your own. Engage with your questions without fear, because God is giving you wisdom. You can walk through the process, and at the end of the day, you don't have to say, I have no idea. You have to say, instead you say, I believe that God is true, and that his word is true. And I struggle, and I'm left with questions, but I believe God. And I will go forward and I will cast my ballot for choice A or choice B. I will go here or I will go there with the confidence that God is leading me. I don't feel smart because he don't want you to feel smart. Then you'll stop praying. Why would he do that? You need to pray. He's going to keep you seeking him all the way home. But the word of God is true. And we must believe it. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But you know, for some of you, your pressing need is not to make better decisions in life. What you need is to find Jesus, who himself is the wisdom that you need. 1 Corinthians 1:30, Jesus who became to us wisdom from God. Don't live life on your own. Don't try to live life according to your own rules. It's a mess. It's a maze. It's a swamp. Don't be your own God. When the God who gives generously will give you everything you need in Jesus Christ. Let's pray.